Greetings to each of you in Jesus' name this morning as we continue our worship service together this morning. Wondering how many know what today is besides Sunday?
Pentecost.
Right, thank you. What does Pentecost mean? Or how is it relevant to us today? I guess we'll do a question and answer and maybe a class setting this morning. What happened in Pentecost? Do we remember? Or the scripture tells us. We don't remember, but we remember because we read it. Okay. Yeah, very good. You're real close. It was, I'm not sure about the boom, but there was, sounded like a wind from what we read, and something happened. There were a little, let me read it first. I'm going to, Acts 2 is going to be our, somewhat of our beginning text at least, and 1 through 13, I'm going to read that. And then we're going to go to numerous different scriptures if we have time. Anyway, these things always get bigger as you delve into them than what you think, when, at least for me they do. And so it, time becomes as it is. And for our chorister, Dylan, if you would prepare 852 in the Faith and Praise for our closing song. I think you know that when a roll is called up yonder. So let's read the first 13 verses in Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia, and in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. So, it's quite a happening. If you would have been there, and again, just the setting of, here it was just after the crucifixion, and after the resurrection, and the disciples and these followers of Jesus were together, again, wondering what's going to happen, what's the future going to look like. And they were told to go to this room and to stay there until Jesus came or till he was made known. And then this took place. And so I can imagine as this all happened, just this rushing sound of a wind coming in, and then these little flames of fire sitting on each person. And the Holy Spirit filled them. And then after this, when Peter preaches his sermon, and how that he really gets clear and gets a little hard on them, actually. And he tells them really what happened, because they wanted to know, what should they do? And he told them. And so in verse 13, it says, others mocking said, you know, there's always mockers. When there's some big happening, there's always someone that has to come in, and they cannot see the truth. They cannot see the picture. And so they have their own, in their own fleshly mind, they speak of the things that they know, I guess. So let's leave there, and let's look a little bit more in the Old Testament. The things that, and there's, I've titled this, A Reminder of God's Love and Care for His People. And you may wonder, and I, as you know, if you know me, I struggle with titles. And so this was just at the very last that I, and so I hope it will fit. And I hope that I can bring this together to where it's interesting. It will be more probably of a history teaching. And so some of you may not like history, and I hope you don't get bored. And I'll try not to bore you. But there's a lot of facts here that I think are important. Last Sunday, Dr. Fred Andrea, which was the pastor at First Baptist Church in Aiken, is now retired, but he writes an article in the Aiken Standard every week, and it's usually very interesting. And so he talked about why, and back on the 21st, 10 days ago, was the Ascension Day, and how that today there we don't even talk about it. We don't barely know that it happened. It's on some calendars, but not very many anymore. And as he went on to say, there was no, Hallmark doesn't put any cards out to make a big day for that. There are no special sales. You don't hear most other big events. All the stores put out sale flyers to try to draw attention, so on. You don't hear anything. And today, we don't talk about those much. I remember growing up as a child, we, our parents, observing these days. Ascension Day, I don't know about Pentecost. I remember my dad talking about it. And I don't really remember what we did. It was sort of a holiday, as I remember. Sometimes I think the church did a fast day. Those are just things that I sort of remember. But I remember hearing about it, but I don't remember what it was about. I really don't know, and I didn't pay attention and didn't care, I guess, and didn't know. And I don't know how important it is that we today necessarily, but there is a significance, and if you were a Jewish person, that would be a big, this would be a big holiday for you, a feast. And I didn't check into the history of that today, but I'm assuming that among the Jewish people that they observe these feasts and so on somewhat today yet. And I'm not saying that we necessarily need to do that, but I think it's good that we know that these things happen and why that the Jewish people were told to practice these. These were commandments from God, and we want to look at that. So Pentecost is, in Hebrew, it is Pentecostus, and it means 50. So 50 days ago was what? Passover, right? And so you assume that with the 50th, Pente meaning 50, I think that's the way it is, and you assume it's a day, so Pentecost Day. Anyway, that's for what it's worth, and if I jumble that up, then it's okay too. Let's turn to Exodus 23. Time is rapidly moving, so if you take a while to get there and find it, that's okay. I'm not going to wait. Exodus 23, 14 through 16. These are words that God told Moses to tell the children of Israel. He says, three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, which thou hast gathered in by the labors out of the field. So these are three of the things that God has commanded, these three feasts for them to keep. Now there are more, and we'll see those as we go into Leviticus. But the see the importance of here, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is Passover. And we are somewhat familiar with what Passover stands for and why it came about and the importance of it. And I want to just remind us that as I talk about these things, that these are not things that God is calling us to keep today as such, but they are reminders for us. And that's why God commanded them to keep these things. And you can read on of what those festivals and feasts consisted of and what they had to do. It was a lot of work, and it was a lot of effort that they had to go through. And it was for days, 7 days. Can you imagine doing that for 7 days? We can't even take off for 2 hours, barely, to go to church or to do some other function. And yet, for 7 days, and then the last day was to be a holiday. I mean, you were to do no work. Your animals, your servants, nothing was to do any work. How different. But they were to remind God's idea was that people forget things very quickly, and we do. And so he wanted them to do these things, pass them on to your children, tell them why you're doing them so that they remember, because there's a big event why this took place. And so we remember the Passover was when God, in bringing the children of Israel, the Hebrews, out of Egypt, delivering them, the last plague was to kill the firstborn in every home. And he told the Hebrews what to do, to put the killer, and there again, I didn't refresh my memory. Was it a lamb or was it a bullock? I think it was a lamb of the one they were to eat was a male lamb of the first year without blemish. The one that was to be killed with the blood, I'm not sure. But, or was it the blood from that animal? Now, I didn't research that, I'm sorry. But you can look at that. But anyway, they had to put the blood over the top of the door, the lintel of the door and the side posts. And when the death angel passed by, he saw the blood and he passed over that house. And so there was no death in that house. But where the blood wasn't there, there was a death in every house, in every household. And so also, and God said, this is a reminder that he spared the oldest child from death, and it's also the deliverance, that he brought the Hebrew people out of Egypt. He delivered them from that bondage that they found themselves in, that they were crying out to God for. So that happened a long time ago. Doesn't affect us. But for the Hebrew people, it's a reminder as they remember this feast that of what happened and why. But then at the time of Passover, I'm not sure how many years later. Again, I didn't look at that. But there's another happening that took place that is forever changed the world, and it's the rock and the foundation of our Christian faith, and that's when Jesus was went through the trial, and he was crucified, and then he rose again. That was right at Passover time. And so my idea is, through all this, in looking at this, in comparing with today and the events that happened in the Christian community for our benefit, they correlate. And God doesn't do things for no purpose or just for anyhow, because he has an idle moment, and so we're going to do this. God doesn't operate. I don't believe he operates like that. Not like we do. You know, we do that. We do off the spur of the moment. We fly by the seat of our pants, we say, quite often. And we do, and it shows. Because sometimes those things that we do, we probably could have done something more worthwhile. But, so God had a purpose and had a plan. So did he? He had this, when Jesus, and the time frame that God, things happen in God's plan, they are planned out ahead. And so the time that we're in today is not a surprise to God. He knew all this. He was here before we got there. He knew how we were, what we were going to have to do, how we were going to have to change our ways, and how we're going to have to adapt for the future. He knows all that. But we have a choice. We can be obstinate, like I tend to feel quite often, but, or we can submit as much as we need to and try to be a help in the problem, in the process, and not a problem. Okay, let's go on to the next one. It talks about the Feast of Harvest. In verse 16, he says, and then he also, the third one is the Feast of Ingathering, and I need to hurry. Because I would like to get through this as much as possible. Okay, now let's turn to Leviticus 23. Again, I realize as you read through these are what I would consider quite boring scriptures to just read through them in your daily reading. But there are, it is very interesting at the same time, and trying to correlate and connecting, and the reason God had them do this, observe these times, and the meaning behind it, and so on, I think is beneficial for us. Also, I forgot to say, in the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, or the Passover, God said it was to be held on the 14th day, and starting in the evening of the first month, which is Abib in the Hebrew calendar, or it would be our April. And so, for 7 days, they were to do this. And the Feast of the Harvest, they were to, and this again, this consisted of the first fruits of the crops that they sowed in the field, and it was to be held on the 6th day of the 3rd month, which is Sivan, and that would be our June. And that was to commemorate the giving of the law. Excuse me. So again, you can read that in Leviticus 23:15 and 16. So again, it was given for a purpose. There was a purpose behind this, why God wanted them to do this and to remember it. And then it's also called the Feast of Pentecost, which is 50 days after the Passover and what our scripture was for today. But also this feast, it was also called the Feast of Weeks in Exodus 23:16, and it was called the Feast of, the Feast of Harvest was Exodus 23:16. Feast of Weeks is Exodus 34:22, and then it was called the First Fruits, also a, of the First Fruits, and that's in Numbers 28:26. It was all the same thing, but it was different titles. And also, if you go into continue on to Leviticus 23 and verse 34, it talks about the Feast of Tabernacles. And that is the ingathering at the end of, as it said here in Exodus 23, the last part was the ingathering. It was again like a Thanksgiving feast at the end. It's sort of like what we do every year for Thanksgiving. We are grateful. We thank God for caring for us and taking care of us. And this was a special time for that. And then in their case, they were supposed to live in booths. They were to go out and cut boughs and all kinds of branches and things and build them a little booth. And they were supposed to sit in there for 7 days. That was their house. I think it was 7 days. Again, a reminder of what God did for them and their gratefulness. And this is, again, to show them that this is the way they lived when they were in the wilderness. Don't forget, you know, you're living in houses now. They're nice. They're comfortable. But when you were in the wilderness, you were living in a tent. It wasn't so nice. Didn't have air conditioning. Didn't have heat. Probably didn't need heat. But it was, yes. So it was a reminder to commemorate the life in the wilderness. Going back to the Feast of the Harvest, the second time, talking about Pentecost. Again, this was when God poured out the Holy Spirit upon the Christians. So that corresponds with the Feast of Harvest and that. I know I'm going fast, and I hope I'm making sense, and I hope you can follow it. You may need to read these scriptures to get all there is there. But the next one then is in verse 24. And backing up now in Leviticus 23, it talks about, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, and so on. And it was for a sweet savor to God. So what's the significance of that? They were supposed to hold that then on the first day of the seventh month, which is Ethanim, or October, our October. And actually the Feast of Tabernacles was also in October on the 15th day as well. And it was to be a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. And Numbers 29:1 talks about that as well. So trumpets were used in various ways and occasions back in the Old Testament times. And so I just, a couple of them that came to mind was in Leviticus, again, 25:9. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee, and I think it was Jubilee, to sound on the 10th day of the seventh month, in the Day of Atonement, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. So again, it was for whatever reason, to draw them together, to remind them for whatever reason. And other times they used them to draw the people together, to get their attention, like to go into battle. Another one was in Judges 7:16 through 18, I'm not going to turn to that, but that's the account of Gideon. And that's an account that we remember that when he went out into, they were facing the Midianites and the Amalekites, and they were a large crowd, and God told him, and he reduced Gideon's army down to 300. And then Gideon told them to take each man, take a trumpet, and take a pitcher. And you know what happened. They went out and they defeated the Amalekites. So that's one time they used the trumpet. Then also in 1 Kings 1:34, when Solomon was anointed, they blew the trumpet again to let people know. So I'm thinking, how does that relate to us today? How can we coordinate or correlate the trumpets outside of being in an orchestra or so on? We don't hear much about trumpets and probably don't care. I don't know if there's anybody here that can play a trumpet. And a trumpet by itself, I don't think, makes a really sound that you really are drawn to listen to by itself. But in the midst of an orchestra, it sounds great, and it does well. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, if you want to turn to that, it talks about the trump of the Lord. We're going to hear it one day. I don't know what it's going to sound like, but when we hear it, I think we'll know what it is. And Paul is saying here, and there again, it's talking about death and the resurrection and so on, the second coming. And I'm not going to get into a lot of details on this because I don't know and I haven't studied it. I am not a student of prophecy as such. And so I'm not telling you anything other than what you can read right here in the scriptures. But I want us to be, again, it's to be a reminder to us, just as it was to the Hebrew people, that God is a God of order. God does things orderly, and He wants us to know that and to remember that. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So I guess my question is, God does things in order. When God, at the Passover, Jesus chose that time for Jesus. God chose that time for Jesus to come to be crucified, to give us new life, to give us birth. At the Feast of Pentecost, God chose that time to come to give the Holy Spirit to His people, to fill them, to give them that gift. Could it be at the Feast of the Trumpets that that would be when God would choose to send Jesus back to receive the church? And that'd be October. Now, don't go home and say, the preacher said that Jesus is returning in October, because I didn't. I'm just putting out the question. If God is a God of order, now you've heard this from someone else before me, so most of you. But as I studied this and as I went through this, again, it just came back to me. I don't know, and I'm not going to tell you that. Or I'm going to tell you I don't know. But it is, to me, it could be a very strong possibility. Because God has a pattern of doing things. Anyway, I'm not here to scare anyone, but I think we need to remember. God loves us. God did all these things, and He didn't tell His people to do these things to be hard on them. He didn't do it because He wanted to see them slave away at trying to work out their salvation. But He did it for a purpose. It meant something to them because they had to put effort into it. Another thing, it was for a reason, to remind them, to remember them. It was because He loved them. If He didn't love them, why would He went through the trouble to bring them out of Egypt? Why would He went through all the trouble of bringing these plagues on Pharaoh? But it's because He had love and care for His people, and He still does today for you and I. I know there's a lot of chaos, and I know there's a lot of things, and you know my heart aches when I hear people, when I don't hear, but I read, where people that from Christian profession say some of the vile and the hateful things that come out of their mouth. And I realize a lot of it has to do with our electronic media. It's so easy. You know, if I had to look you in the eye and tell you some of the things that people put on the media and put out there, maybe you'd think twice. I would. But you can sit in your own little privacy and you can print out whatever you want. And I've seen two of those people that I know. They've turned their back on God. They've become hateful toward God and toward you as a Christian. How did they get there? What do we do? What can we do that we don't go that route? I know people say that and teach that the Bible talks about, can't get the word, against the Holy Spirit, blaspheming the Holy Spirit. There are people saying that you can't do that today. I'm not so sure. I'm afraid some of these people have come very, very close, if they haven't. What about you and me? I realize these that I know of are younger people. They're probably not settled in their Christian life, or were not, and obviously have been influenced by Satan and the world, and have chosen to believe lies, because that's what Satan does. But when a trumpet sounds, we need to be ready. We need to be on God's side. So my concern is that you and I, how can we refrain from going that route? I believe it's in praying, it's in reading, it's in being intentional and not believing Satan's lies. Number one, there's a lot of lies out there. There's a lot of misinformation, and that's probably putting it mildly. But let's be careful that we follow the truth, because the truth will set us free. So whether it's this October or whether it's 10 years from now, I think when Dale Keffer was here and presented that, I don't know when that was, but I'm guessing it was 10 years, close. Jesus didn't come yet. He might not come for another 10 years, maybe 20 years, maybe 50 years. But then maybe it's 2020. We don't know. And I'm not saying it has to be October. I'm not telling God when he needs to come, because he's got that day and that time scheduled. And it's appointed, and it won't be changed. Just a thought. Anyway, there's another song that's similar to the one we're going to sing, and it's 887. I'm just going to read the words, because I think they are encouraging in the faith and praise. It's in the morning of joy, when the trumpets shall sound and the dead shall arise, and the splendors immortal shall envelop the skies, when angel of death shall no longer destroy, and the dead shall awaken in the morning of joy. When the king shall appear in his beauty on high, and shall summon his children to the courts of the sky, shall the cause of the Lord have been all your employ, that your soul may be spotless in the morning of joy. Oh, the bliss of that morn, when our loved ones we meet, with the songs of the ransomed we each other shall greet, singing praise to the Lamb through eternity's years, with the past all forgotten, with its sorrows and tears. Turn to 852 in the Faith and Praise. When you find that, you can stand. We'll pray, and then we can sing. Father in heaven, we thank you again this morning for who you are and for what you do for us. Thank you for your love and for your care for us, for your protection. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have given to live within the heart of each believer, to give us power, to give us direction, to give us guidance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the way that you have taken care of your people throughout all generations, and the way that you're taking care of your people today. We thank you, and we pray that you'd help us to be strong and to continue to trust you, and to know that regardless of what happens in our world, that you are here, and that you are by our side, and that you care about us, that you will help us. So thank you for that today. Help us to be ready, watching and waiting for when the trumpet sounds, so that we are ready to go with you and to meet you in the air. Bless each person who is here today. Guide them, direct them, keep them faithful, keep them true, and keep them close to you. Bless all those that are not here today, our friends, wherever they are. I pray that you would bless them and protect them as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we sing?